You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1, and that's where you can voice your complaints here if you disagree with what I'm about to say on today's podcast. We're diving deep into the Jarvis Landry situation, and spoiler alert, I'm not a huge fan. We all know the Bears need wide receiver help, desperately. We went into real detail on just the depth of this Bears wide receiver problem back on the February 14th, Valentine's Day, believe it or not, podcast. It wasn't a very love-filled episode, but it was important to really get a grasp of how desperate the Bears are, not only in terms of what talent they had on the roster last year, but how little of that talent is coming back. I mean, the quick version, there's really nothing coming back right now from 2017 to the 2018 roster in terms of any sort of production at the wide receiver position, and that's going to be a major focal point, obviously, moving forward. And I think the Bears, generally speaking, have to have the mindset that they can't keep buying low on talent and trying to swing for the fences and get more out of what they can get, because they need to maximize everything that they can around their young quarterback. They need to get more talent around Mitchell Trubisky. Don't waste your time with trying to plug things in and make things work. Get top-tier talent, if possible, to make things best for this quarterback, because this is the time to maximize Mitchell Trubisky. We'll get more in-depth on that sort of mindset on a future podcast and sort of the implications of the window to win a championship with a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback on that rookie contract. That time is now. We'll get more in depth on that in a future podcast. But regardless, the Bears need to add playmaking, you know, high-level talent at the wide receiver position. But at the same time, you do have to be smart about it. I mean, when top-tier talented players are available, it's for a reason. Usually that's because of an injury history or some off-the-field problem. Sometimes there's other things that go into this off the field or behind the scenes that we just don't get to know from the outside. And that's why I think we need to be sure to think critically about the Jarvis Landry situation, because the Miami Dolphins seem maybe unsure about the future with Landry. You know, they waited a little bit to franchise tag him because they're trying to negotiate with him. Then they used the franchise tag on him. And then a number of places, including the Miami Herald, have been reporting that the Dolphins are planning to trade him. They would be, quote-unquote, stunned if the Dolphins don't trade him here. And then, of course, you know, Ian Rappaport and the other NFL insiders immediately list the Chicago Bears as a potential trade candidate, not necessarily reporting that the Bears have inquired, but just sort of connecting the dots between a wide receiver needy team that maybe was potentially interested in him as a free agent that could then therefore be interested in him in a trade capacity. And, you know, when you look at it on the surface, it seems like a great opportunity, right? It's a 25-year-old wide receiver, set the NFL record with 400 catches over his first four seasons. He was like the most catches in the first 4 years of any wide receiver in NFL history. He's had 3,000 yards combined over the last 3 years, I think more than that. And of course, he made the Pro Bowl in each of the last three seasons, had 9 touchdowns this last year, led the NFL in catches. It's easy to sit here, look at that, and think that's a must-get player. But let's take a step back here. Why might the Miami Dolphins want to give up on a 25-year-old, 3-time Pro Bowl wide receiver? I mean, like I said, a lot of times when these guys become available, you know, is it injury? Landry's played every single game in his career, 16 games all 4 years, and that kind of durability is valuable and rare when you have someone that catches as many passes and takes as many hits as Landry has over the years, so you can kind of check injury off the red flag list. What about off the field issues? You know, Landry got popped for a domestic violence incident a couple years ago, and ended up having the charges dropped there, and that's always a scary situation for a team, and it's very murky when it comes to the details there, but ultimately it didn't lead to a suspension or any long-standing legal trouble for whatever that means. But there were also some rumors of emotional volatility with him and maybe potentially not getting along fantastic with some coaches and teammates. I mean, in week 17 this past year, he was ejected and was involved in a brawl with, I think it was the Buffalo Bills they were playing. And there was also some talk that he got into it with some of his own teammates on the sideline and maybe doing some things that aren't becoming of a high-quality teammate. The Dolphins were kind of mysterious about it and didn't really go into details, but there was a lot of things that kind of went wrong in his last game with the Miami Dolphins this past year. So there's some question mark and some off the field here as far as the personality. But it's not enough of a diva thing. He isn't known to be a league-wide head case or someone who has negatively impacted the success of the team because of how he acts off the field. So it seems like we're not getting the whole story here. It doesn't seem like, certainly it's not injury, and off the field doesn't seem like enough necessarily to keep the Dolphins from wanting to invest in, again, a 25-year-old, three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver. So to get more of this story, I watched all 112 of Jarvis Landry's catches from last year, plus another couple dozen of his targets, and I learned a lot about his game and what he does and what the Dolphins do and how he kind of got to where he is today. Let me start by just saying Jarvis Landry is a very talented NFL wide receiver. He's extremely tough. He's physical after the catch. He's not afraid to go over the middle. And he's not afraid to take on contact. I mean, those are very valuable traits in a wide receiver. But besides that, I don't know exactly what Jarvis Landry is great at. You know, you want, if you're going to pay this wide receiver, top-tier wide receiver money like he wants, which we're going to get into later on in the podcast, you want to pay him for having truly top-tier traits and being able to be a top-tier wide receiver. And after looking at his catches and his most of his targets, I don't see exactly what he's truly great at, which I'll go into next. He has good hands, but not great hands. You know, he had a decent amount of drops this year, not an overwhelming amount of drops, not such a large amount that you're going to be concerned. I think PFF credited him with 7, which is technically 8th most among wide receivers, but when you catch 112 balls, in terms of percentage of passes catchable that he dropped, it's down in like 5% or whatever, which is a very, you know, mediocre, not ideal, but not terrible range of drop passes. Good hands, not great hands. I think Landry has good speed, but not great speed. You know, he's quick, but not that top-tier level quick. I mean, you might remember he ran pretty slow at the combine. I don't get too caught up in the, you know, 4.77 40-yard dash he ran there. I think he was down in the 4.6 range at his pro day. You know, that's not as concerning to me as what you see on tape, which is a guy that is quick and can get upfield in a hurry. But again, he's not top-tier speed. He is not, you know, one of the 20 fastest wide receivers in the NFL. He's probably in that 20 to 50 range, but he's just not. It's just good speed. It's not great speed, which again, there's a lot of value to that, but it's not an elite skill of his. And you look, you know, what Landry's known for is his work, potentially known for is his work after the catch. I think he's good after the catch, but he's not great. He's not truly dominant with the ball in his hands. He forced missed tackles on roughly 15% of his catches, according to Pro Football Focus. That seems like a lot, and in terms of pure numbers, he forced like the third or second most missed tackles of any wide receiver with 17, but again, you stretch that out over 112 catches. He's forcing missed tackles on 15% of his catches. That ranked 24th among wide receivers. And so again, we're looking at not top 20 after the catch there, but in that next tier. And his yards after the catch ranked 37th this year. Not truly elite after the catch. He's not up at the Golden Tate level with the ball in his hands. Not Julio Jones. Not even quite Tavon Austin level make plays with the ball in your hands. He's good after the catch. He's not great. And then on top of all that, to me, he's just an average route runner. You know, I don't think the Dolphins ask him to run a variety of routes. And so you get a small sample size of when you're trying to watch him work a little bit more downfield. But the majority of his targets come on crossing routes where he's just kind of running some sort of curved line over the middle of the field. You know, curl routes where he just runs 5 to 10 yards and turns around. And then out routes, whether it's a quick out where it's not much of a stem to it or a little bit of a bigger, you know, stem and getting farther downfield before breaking to the sideline. A lot of that's more of a timing thing too, where the ball's coming out before he finishes his route because the Dolphins are just trying to get in rhythm and get the ball out of their quarterback's hands quickly. And so occasionally you'll see Landry work downfield. And over at Bears Wire, I wrote up a lot about Jarvis Landry and kind of went in depth on a few plays from last year that I saw in my tape work, diagrammed it, broke it down sort of frame by frame to kind of show you how the Dolphins could scheme him for some success and go through some of his route running. And you'll see that in that piece, I showed a play where that he runs just your typical go route. You just go deep down the sideline. And I don't remember if it's Jay Cutler or Matt Moore, but the quarterback throws it up for him. And it's a back shoulder fade, and he just goes up and high points it and catches it and comes down with it and looked like, you know, Cameron Meredith or whoever. Like, he looked like he looked like a legitimate deep wide receiver on that play. So you see flashes of him being able to do that and being able to do perhaps more than the Miami Dolphins let him do. But all year, he had 2 catches on go routes, and that one I was talking about was one of them. You know, he just doesn't have a lot of these opportunities to work downfield. And when he does, he isn't always able to create separation. And so you get these flashes and you think maybe you take Jarvis Landry and you use him in this way or that way. Maybe you can get him to be more of a wide receiver. But he isn't proven in any of those areas. And so what happens is then you have to project how will this wide receiver do things differently. And all of a sudden, that's not concrete. That's not as valuable. You don't know what you're getting in that area. And so that's not something, you don't invest a top wide receiver contract in a guy expecting him to be able to do more that he hasn't proven the ability to do so thus far, you know, 4 years into his NFL career. There's just not as much value in projecting a skill set as opposed to the skill set that other players might have and the skill set that he does have. So you might be sitting there thinking, Lauren, Jarvis Landry led the NFL in catches in 2017. How is he not great? And I think that's where we get to the other side of the story. You see this all over his tape when you watch his catches. The Miami Dolphins were very good at using their offensive scheme to put Jarvis Landry in positions to be successful. And that's a combination of where he is in the quarterback's progression, what route he's running, and what route the other receivers on offense are running in conjunction with what he does. So there are a lot of times when the Dolphins will run a certain combination of routes where one receiver will go deep and kind of take the top off of defense to a side, and maybe another receiver will run underneath and kind of take the underneath defender there, and that leaves space in between them for Jarvis Landry to run into and be wide open. And you see that a lot of times in the Miami Dolphins offense, and Landry is often the guy that either by design or by coincidence of where he lined up on the play, he's the guy that ends up open, and not necessarily because he ran a fantastic route and torched the defender covering him, but because the other team is in zone and the Dolphins stretched their zone in certain ways to leave holes where Landry's route happened to go in. Credit to Adam Gase for getting these plays in the playbook to get him in position to be successful. You see that a lot of times in their offense. You know, I didn't track and like write down and count how many times we saw a lot of Landry success. But when if I had to guess, I think roughly 60, more than, definitely more than half, 60% of Jarvis Landry's targets and catches came on checkdown plays. These are plays where, you know, he runs the drag route over the middle where he's 3 yards past the line of scrimmage, just kind of running underneath. And, you know, Cutler, Matt Moore drops back and looks right, looks left, pressure's coming, dumps it off to Jarvis Landry. He gets, you know, 5-8 yards, a few yards after the catch, and you know, it's a completion, it's yards, it's a catch. And that happens literally the majority of Jarvis Landry's targets and catches. It's the little crossing route, it's the little curl route where he kind of sits there in space, and the, you know, Cutler looks left, middle, comes back to Landry, dump off, easy gain, not beating his corner one-on-one to create separation, but just being where the defense isn't as interested in covering. Like, you might remember Lovie Smith's Tampa 2 defense back when he was coaching the Bears. The complaint a lot of times was it being conservative, that they took away the deep ball, but they were giving up the underneath play, that, you know, Brian Urlacher would get super deep and it would leave space in the middle of the field, and so teams would be able to kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. Jarvis Landry is that dink and dunk wide receiver. That was roughly 60% of his targets and catches. On top of that, another roughly, again, estimating here, 20%, so 60% check down, maybe another 20% are screens. You know, it's the quick bubble screen from the slot. It's the outside wide receiver screen coming over the middle. It's a jet sweep where they quick toss it to him in the backfield, and the, you know, they're blocking for Jarvis Landry. You know, and when he does get the ball on screens, you come back to this good but not great after the catch. I mean, his yards after the catch on screen passes, according to Pro Football Focus, was like 7-point-something yards, which ranked 16th best among wide receivers with at least 5 screens this year. And yards after the catch on screen plays, not all on the wide receiver. You need blockers, you need stuff to work downfield. So I'm not holding that totally against him, but you take that on top of his outside of the, you know, his 24th ranked missed tackle rate and his 37th ranked total yards after the catch. Just good, not great after the catch. And he's still getting 20% of his, roughly estimated 20% of his catches and targets looking at screens. So that puts you at about 80% estimated, roughly, just from personal observation of watching every catch he had last year, roughly 80% checkdowns and screens. That leaves the estimated 20%, you know, give or take, maybe 10% of plays where Jarvis Landry had to get open downfield. So as you can see, it's not always as simple as his stats might make it seem. And if you're more of a visual person, again, you can go see examples of these types of plays from the All-22 tape with a step-by-step diagram and breakdown of coverage over at bearswire.com. So again, Jarvis Landry is a good, reliable player, 100%. And, you know, the Miami Dolphins, they plugged him into their offense, and they got huge production. And there's a lot of value in that. But my question is, how much production did Jarvis Landry generate for himself? You know, you compare it to other wide receivers. You know, when Alshon Jeffrey goes downfield one-on-one against a cornerback, and the quarterback throws up a 50-50 ball, and he goes up and snags it and comes down with it, to me, that's a lot more of the wide receiver generating plays for the offense. Or when the Lions throw the screen to Golden Tate, he breaks 2 tackles and is free up the sideline for 40 yards when he caught the ball at the line of scrimmage. That's a wide receiver making a play. But I see Jarvis Landry not being truly elite after the catch, but being very good after the catch, not being elite at getting open downfield or not really doing much of it at all, with some flashes of plays there. And I question how much production Jarvis Landry generated versus how much the Miami Dolphins put Jarvis Landry in a position to have easy plays and yards and catches over and over and over again until it added up to a league-leading type of year. You know, perhaps the Dolphins and Adam Gase maybe feel like they could potentially plug another player into that Jarvis Landry role if they trade Jarvis Landry. They don't seem to be interested in paying him the amount of money he wants. they could, maybe they feel like they could plug another player in there and get similar production. Not 100 catches and 1,000 yards, maybe, but if you give a lot of NFL wide receivers 150 targets, I think he got more than that, like 160-something. If you give a player the ball that many times, they're going to produce a decent amount of yards. Maybe not Landry's quite level of yards. Maybe that's where you see Landry's generated production, that he's the difference between 700-800 yards and 1,000 yards. But maybe the Dolphins feel like because they helped generate a lot of Jarvis Landry's production, they don't want to pay him as much as other wide receivers that generate a lot of their own production within the offense. It sounds like, based on rumors and stuff, the Dolphins are interested in paying him, you know, $10, $11 million a year, which I think is perfectly fair for Jarvis Landry. I mean, I would pay him that money easily, but it sounds like Landry is interested in the, you know, $14 million range, what Dez Bryant was earning on his contract. And now with the franchise tag, Jarvis Landry is set to earn over $16 million guaranteed in 2018. So if we shift this to a Bears perspective, you know, the Dolphins, maybe they don't want to pay this guy because they helped scheme a lot of his production and feel like a decent amount of that is replaceable. Now, we know Matt Nagy is fully capable of scheming wide receivers to be productive. But then it comes down to the same questions that the Dolphins have. Is it worth paying top wide receiver money to a guy that your offensive coordinator or head coach or play caller, etc., scheme open, that they put him in position to be successful? Is it worth paying a big contract to a player that you put in position to be successful when you could potentially put a cheaper player in position to be successful and get similar but lesser results? You know, is it worth $14 million for a guy that you can get 1,000 yards out of? Or is it more worth to give maybe $5 million to a lesser player that might get you 700, 800 yards and use that other money elsewhere? I'd be a lot more interested in spending on a receiver with a skill set that produces more for itself than just what the scheme and the route combinations your offense gives them will produce. You know, bring back Cameron Meredith. There's an 800-yard wide receiver. Sign another slot receiver that maybe you can scheme to that 700, 800 range if you give him a lot of catches and a lot of plays where he's the dump-off option. And then draft a wide receiver, or maybe two, on the second and third days of the draft, and maybe between the two of them, you can get another 800 yards. Then you've still got weapons for Mitchell Trubisky, and you can use that maybe $8, $9, $10 million you saved not paying Jarvis Landry to go upgrade the offensive line and keep Mitchell Trubisky better protected, or upgrade the defense. I mean, there's so many ways you could use that money to make the rest of the team better, and you can still get similar, decent wide receiver production elsewhere at a much more affordable rate. Plus, you have to trade for Jarvis Landry now after the Dolphins franchise tagged him. You've been waiting for me to bring that up too, I know. So now you're giving up draft picks, maybe, plus the $14 million contract to a receiver, again, three-time Pro Bowl, 25-year-old wide receiver, who's been very reliable, but is he dominant? And is he a truly independently a top-tier wide receiver, or is he a wide receiver that can produce at a high level when put in the best position to be successful? You can put other receivers in the best position to be successful, like the Dolphins did with Jarvis Landry, and get a similar amount of production for a much cheaper price in terms of contract financially, and then also not having to give up draft picks to trade for this player on top of it. So that's why I say, no thanks, Jarvis Landry. I'm all for going big on a wide receiver, but like I said, you have to be smart about it. I don't think Landry is the type of going big on a wide receiver that you want to do. You know, maybe Allen Robinson, maybe Dante Moncrief, I don't know. We'll get more into them in the future on Locked On Bears. Subscribe and keep tuning in all off season. You know, keep up with the shows. We got them out going out on Facebook and Twitter, our website, lockedonbears.com. Give us a follow and a like there on social media. Just search Locked On Bears. You'll find it. And you can check out more about Jarvis Landry and how the Dolphins used him over at bearswire.com. We might be going back in time again later this week on Locked On Bears, like we did for Brett Favre night a couple of weeks ago. So you're going to want to check back for that because it should be a lot of fun. In the meantime, as always, bear down.